Greetings. On behalf of the St. John's United Methodist Church family, I want you to get ready to have life spoken into you. These messages that you're going to hear by audio or video are carefully crafted that they might feed your faith and starve your doubts. We pray that God will make you stronger and will prepare you for the destiny that He's called you to live into, not only in the week to come, but in the rest of your life through how God speaks to us through His text and through these servants. We treat it with precious honor that we are gifted and given the opportunity to feed your faith. And so now, get ready, receive, and know that God has a word for you.
If you are able, please stand for the reading of the scripture. Our scripture this morning is from Joel, chapter 2, verses 12 through 17, and our translation is from the Common English Bible. And it's titled, Change Your Heart. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your hearts, with fasting, with weeping, and with sorrow. Tear your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is merciful and compassionate, very patient, full of faithful love, and ready to forgive. Who knows whether he will have a change of heart and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the horn in Zion, demand a fast, request a special assembly. Gather the people, prepare a holy meeting, assemble the elders, gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the groom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the porch and the altar, let the priests, the Lord's ministers, weep. Let them say, have mercy, Lord, on your people, and don't make your inheritance a disgrace, an example of failure among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Reverend Katie, I'm going to ask you to just step up for a quick second and yell in my microphone because I want them to hear about moving day. Can you run up here real quick? She didn't know this was coming, so this is not her fault. She is prepared. This is me doing this on the fly. And so just take a minute, if you would, and tell us about Moving Up Day.
All right. So today is an exciting day for all of our Sunday school classes. It is our Moving Up Sunday. And so for the kids, that means that the grade that you've just moved up to in school, you get to move up to in Sunday school. And we have a wonderful opportunity for you in the fellowship hall, kids and parents, to learn about your Sunday school class today. And then we're going to have a little parade around the ministry center and throughout the church to get to your classes. It's going to be fun. I've been pitching it all week to Cale as a party because we're really excited that he gets to start Sunday school this week. Also for youth, you can just come over to the youth rooms. We're going to have a very casual brunch hangout time in Sunday school today, and then our back to school party is tonight at 6. So we hope that all of you will participate in that. Thanks again to all of our teachers who have stepped up this year to commit to this incredible ministry. And adults, we hope that you will also take the opportunity today to join a class. We have several of them throughout the whole building. We'll be talking about that during our moving up time as well. So if you are around, you can hear me talk about all of our adult offerings for Sunday school. Amen. Thanks again to everyone who is supporting this ministry this year.
Amen. I hope you'll do that and engage. Our children would love to see you there. Just a final note, some of you know that our missions team is working with a ministry called the Cobden Ministry, which is in another part of our state. I'll be telling you something next week that will enlighten your hearts and stir your souls as they continue to live out the faith of the gospel. And I'll share that next week. Would you pray with me? Dear God, it's your day and your time, so here's our prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable, O God, for the work of ministry, the redemption of souls, the salvation of some, the encouragement of all. For you are our rock and our redeemer. It is in your name we pray, Christ's people said. Amen. My thanks to Reverend Katie Golson, our pastor of discipleship, for her able leadership last week as I was away being a college parent now. And her sermon on last week was wonderful. We want to continue in this series, Fasting, Faith for Complete Victory, with the third installment that I wish to offer you this week. this theme, fasting, this word, this spiritual discipline is one of our 10 by 10 spiritual disciplines of this 2016 year that we have taken on. We are calling it the 10 by 10 journey, and we pray that you are being blessed of it. If you are a visitor or a new person to our church, you will note for your remembrance now, as I offer it to you, that we are taking a journey this year for 10 spiritual words in these 10 months to grow and to nurture our faith, to starve our doubts. And if you ever wanted to starve doubts, this way fasting is one of them. For many of us, the pragmatic nature of fasting is a simple term that simply means the removal of a discipline of eating, or a joy for some of us of eating, that we might submit that as an offering unto God. For many, fasting is the most difficult of disciplines. And for Christians, this is no easy task either. It often, fasting has been misunderstood and also has been limited. Somehow we have gotten a notion through both teaching and improper education that if we just stop eating a meal, that means fasting. As I'm sure you heard last week and have heard from other persons, that may not necessarily be the case. In fact, for many of us, fasting, as we have grown and developed our training and our discipline in it, has meant much more to us than simply removing ourselves from a meal. The further you go in the process of giving this to God as an offering, a spiritual discipline, what you discover is it is not simply in removing one's process of eating. In fact, you can be one who eats three meals a day and still engage in the practice of fasting. Over the last few days, I have limited my use of social network because I wanted to hear God's word specifically, as I believe he would speak to me in my prayer time and others, that I might deliver the faith to the flock of God. For others, one person I know, their process of lounging over TV has given themselves to the attention of the Holy Script. For others, it is removing themselves from anger or from feeling like a failure, and in the process replacing that with the prospect of feeding their faith, giving others hope, serving in the time that they would spend in watching pleasurable entertainment, whatever that is. But what I do want you to know as we start this process of turning the corner on this series is that fasting is an exchange. That's the easiest way I can define it for you. Fasting is a spiritual exchange and a form of worship that says, I give God this to you and ask you to give something back to me. It is a transaction that takes place in the hearts and minds and souls of God's people, and it is not easy. Connie Biesmeier, our musician, picked the hymn that we sung this morning, In Good Standing, Close to Thee. It embodies for us how difficult sometimes fasting is. Let me offer you one of the verses. Not for ease or worldly pleasure, nor for fame my prayer shall be. Gladly I will toil, listen, gladly I will toil and suffer. Only let me walk with thee. Can we be honest with each other for one moment? These words, gladly will I toil and suffer, only let me walk with thee, are not the first words that come into our minds each day. Our humanness, our limited capacity to feel the energy of that transaction does not give us the impetus to celebrate with great joy and excitement, let me toil and suffer. In fact, truth be told, it is the last thing we desire to do in our natural human state. Toiling and suffering does not sound like a party anyone wishes to attend. The only thing more difficult than submitting oneself to the exchange that may mean our human flesh will get less, that our spiritual souls may get more, The only thing difficult, more difficult than starting that process, is keeping it. The scripture in the book of Proverbs says it best, better than I do. Better is the end of something than the beginning of it. It suggests this, that it's one thing to begin a process, a discipline, a interaction to grow and develop, but it is a whole nother thing to finish the course. One writer says it this way when he talks about Paul's end journey. He says, I have finished the faith, kept the course, run the race. Various forms of it are found in various translations, but it means this, that Paul completed the journey that was difficult and arduous and sometimes not fun. Troy, you're not winning my heart to be stirred this day. This may not be one of those moments, but I pray you'll listen. And I pray you'll listen because the truth of it is, if you're going to develop, sometimes you have to just simply grit your teeth, lower your jaw, and stick in it. Because while it doesn't feel good, it's like leftovers. It is good. That's what fasting is. Fasting is a process that takes us stronger and higher than we ever thought we could be if we're being faithful to it. So I want to talk to you today about keeping a faith fast. The text is very simple in that it does not offer us a lot of particular quagmires for historical reference. Written somewhere between the late 7th and early 5th BC period by a person who we are not identified by in the text, who has a father who is not spoken of well. The main character is one who also is only known in two texts, one in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament. His name has a certain meaning, which we'll talk about a little bit next week. And all we know is this, is that the people who are in that city where it is transcribed from, Judah, feel like they have been under a storm for a long time. Anyone feel like they've been under a storm for a while? There's good news today, in case you have. I want to also embrace the truth that, just like you, there have been seasons, even recently, where I have felt like I have been under a storm. Challenge, difficulty, trouble, pain, and strident times. But here is the good news of it. The good news of it is that the promise of the storm is this, that storms come and go, but God is still in control. And with that, the writer Joel, who is the prophet of that day, or at least what we believe, we're still not sure who wrote the text fully. I'm going to lean towards more progressive theological abstractions and say to you, I think Job transcribes this. Not certain, my thought. Suggest to us that the way to get out of this storm is to keep a faith fast. I want to say something to you very important at this break in the sermon. The whole point of engaging in holy acts is to grow your faith. The whole point of you engaging in something is not for outward appearance. It is not to impress the crowd. It is not to uplift those who have religious piety. It is not even to make yourself feel better. It is for you to develop even those areas that are unknown to you, this prospect of faith. Well, then what is faith? Hebrews 11, 1 and 2 says this. I'm reading from contemporary English Bible, or the Common English Bible, excuse me. Faith is the reality of what we hope for, the proof of what we don't see. The reality of what we hope for. the proof of what we don't see. This text is written by another person whom we are not familiar with, who writes as a Hebraic Jew who is making his transformation into being a follower of the way, which is of the Christian faith. And this unknown person, who is obviously a leader of faith in that first century time of the New Testament, says this, that faith is a real thing that we hope for, and it has evidence in what we have not yet seen. But it's real, and it is tangible, and it is viable if accessed. Faith is not a feeling. It is a fact of spiritual life that has one's requirement to hold on even in the most strident of times. And to this end, reaching back to the Old Testament, the writer, who I believe is the writer, Joel, writes to a people who are saying, how do we stop this from continuing? Stop what? At that time, they were under very difficult situations. They were under a fast. They were under oppression. And they were under subjugation. They couldn't win for trying. And they felt like God had abandoned them. And the prophet went in prayer, and God told him, we believe, in the book of Joel, chapter 1 and 2, almost the same things. But chapter 2 is the focal point for our attention. It says this in verse 14. Who knows whether he will have a change of heart? He's talking to them as if God has given them an option, but no guarantee here. Who knows whether he will have a change of heart and leave a blessing behind him? A grain offering or a drink offering for the Lord your God. This is important here. Just a series ago, we were talking about worship, and I failed because of the process of change to get to the opportunity to talk to you about both the grain offering as well as this final offering that he mentions here in verse 14, the drink offering. You got to remember, in famished times, in fasting seasons, where there is a period where there is no harvest being grown, there are only two things people can survive on, that which they have stored away and that which God keeps. The grain represents that which God has allowed them to store away, because grain over a long period of time will not go bad if it's kept well. And because of the fermentation of drink, drink will do the same. They had no meal, they had no vegetation. All they had at that time was the harvest of the grain and the drink that would keep them. And he says here in verse 14, listen carefully, he says, who knows whether he will have a change of heart and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering or a drink offering for the Lord your God. Wait, Troy. A grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Joel says to them, in essence, hear this, that if you are going to find yourself in the favor of God, that is the keeping and blessing and security of God, even in times where it is difficult, you will have to maintain a heart to give. I want to ask you something this morning. Has life's difficulties brought you to the place where even now, even though you know the Lord has been good to you more than you can even talk about, your heart is burdened and you feel like, I have done enough? Let me offer you the solution to cure your heart. Practice giving. Practice sharing. Practice loving. Even when people are not kind to you, practice giving grace when grace is not offered to you. And even when God, you feel, has abandoned you, don't let your relationship with God go because God has somehow given you a season of challenge. Return. Return to God and offer that which you have left, that God might give you more. So there are five things here he offers us. Five life points for how we can keep a faith fast that I want to offer you this day. Here they are. First, keeping a faith fast invites you to forget past failures. If you're going to keep a faith fast, I want to invite you to know that by keeping it, by maintaining your faith, by trying even when it looks doubtful to know that God is yet divine, God will give you in return the forgetfulness of your past failures. Verse 14, just in case somehow you have missed the point, here it is again. He says, who knows whether he will have a change of heart? Fasting is not so much about how you feel about what God is doing. It is about how you get certain that God is still doing. And to do that, you will have to get past your inability to trust God, because you can't trace God and trust God when you can't trace God. And failure often helps us not to trust God. You got to remember, the people here have felt like God has abandoned them. They are of a former tradition of faith that says you get because you do well. Can I give you scripture here, Old Testament? The rain falls on the just and the unjust. It means this, that whether you make a mistake or not, God still loves you, God still keeps you, God still restores you, and God will never leave or abandon you. So let your failures go. In the words of Matthew 6:33, each day has enough trouble of its own. Give yourself a break. Brush yourself off and start all over again. Number two, the writer, whoever he is, says this to us in essence. Keeping a faith fast invokes in you the prospect of living out a purpose beyond our limited selves. Again, verse 14. The end part of that. He says, and leave a blessing behind him. The writer, whoever he is, and the people, whoever follow this instruction, not a suggestion, but a command. Pause right here. One of the very challenging parts of becoming a Christian, living as a Christian, is sometimes the instruction of God's word and those who share it does not make sense. But it must be followed anyways. I get it. I just wanted you to know that sometimes I hear myself talking to you, and I know sometimes it makes no sense, but sometimes the spiritual does not have to make sense. It just has to make God's purpose true. So he says, leave a blessing behind him. In other words, the hope that we gain by trusting God, even when it doesn't feel good, invokes in us this prospect that God, who is always with us, will give us a purpose beyond ourselves. Last week, I took my child to school. No, I did not cry. I have made Jan very disappointed in me that I did not weep as we turned our corner. But my heart was heavy. But my heart also beamed. Because it said to me and my family that there's yet another generation who is living a legacy beyond us, and somehow God's grace has allowed us to see the next season of this family go forward. You got to keep that kind of faith when you have a fast. When you submit to God, your struggles, even your propensity to get angry or your propensity to overeat or whatever it is, when you go into this process where you declare a holy fast, if you can keep the prospect that your discipline will give others a witness that it goes beyond them, God will bless. I hurry on to point three. Keeping a faith fast invigorates one's strength as you submit to the Savior. Verse 15, blow the horn in Zion. In other words, gather the people. Do not allow them to ignore worship as a center point for their living. Friends, I want to say this to you. It is just as important for everything you do that as often as you come, gather with those of us who love Christ and celebrate his salvation and resurrection, that you come here often. If you haven't heard it before, let me give you a Bible for this. Hebrews 11, 10:24-25, Hebrews 10:24-25, and let us not forsake the habit of meeting together, as is the habit of some of them, even when it doesn't feel good, because there are times I know that even the sermon is boring. Not often. I kid you. But even in those moments where sermon just doesn't riff you, even when worship doesn't just stir you, even in those moments, your commitment to being engaged in the family of believers is absolutely critical. And God is strengthening you even when you don't feel when you're strong. How do I know that? Scripture says to us in the book of John that when I am weak, he is strong. Trust God. Keep the faith fast. Submit to the Savior. Point four, keeping a faith fast ignites or gives hope to the spirit of a person and quells the hunger of the flesh. Verse 16, we're almost finished. He says, listen, gather the people, prepare a holy meeting. This is a wonderful place for me to turn the corner as I get ready to finish the sermon. I got to let you know, when we come in here and we gather, even though somehow the world has told us that this is just a nice little thing we do here, this is a holy meeting. God is in the midst of his people when we gather here. In fact, one verse says that when God steps in the room, as we gather as a people believing that God is with us in worship, the scripture says this, let the whole earth be silent in front of him. It denotes that the reality is God is doing something even when some in the room don't believe God's presence is there, even when they doubt the Holy Spirit themselves. Trust God to stir in you the spirit and end the hunger of your flesh. For while food may be desirous of your body, your attention to God will give you feeding that you cannot pay for. Finally, keeping a faith fast immobilizes God's people for a focus that draws them to their future. He concludes this segment of the scripture in chapter 2 of Joel, verse 16, by saying this, let the groom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Oh, I wish I had full time to finish this. It comes out of the segments of scriptures in Exodus and Leviticus where Moses' tabernacle is highlighted. The bottom line, this, when the groom and the bride come together, just in case you don't understand the symbolism, the groom is Christ and the bride is his church. When they find themselves in this discipline of releasing the world, that is what fasting is. It's a release of the things of this world. And they find themselves so enraptured with the encounter they have with one another, that is Christ and us together. When that happens, fasting becomes a feast that endures forever. It immobilizes us for a focus and a future. So let me leave you with this. The difficulties of these days will offer you the opportunity to be skeptical and even cynical about the work of the church and the Holy Spirit and even yourselves. Let me offer you this as I close. Keep your faith and you will overcome the cynics and the skepticism of this day. Keep your eye on Christ. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Keep your focus on God, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And while you have difficult days, your futures will come to pass, because keeping a faith fast will take you to tomorrow. Let us pray. God of grace and power, we've heard this day on how you give us instruction to keep our presence before you, how to keep a faith fast, how to stay focused on the discipline of letting go of this world that we might be more of what you call us to be through you. Bless us as we go forward this day, even as we struggle to be close to thee. And as we do, keep us in your care and your will. This and more we pray in Christ's name. God's people said, amen.